Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet on this feast day of St. Edward the Confessor. He was the son of King Ethelred III and his Norman wife Emma. He'd left England and went to Normandy with his mother when the Danes invaded England. He was raised in Normandy and became king by acclamation when his half-brother died in 1044. His reign was a peaceful one, characterized by his good rule and remission of odious taxes. He built St. Peter's Abbey at Westminster, the site of the present abbey, where he is buried. His piety gained him the surname the Confessor. He died in London on January 5th and was canonized in 1161 by Pope Alexander III. We have an excellent show for you today on the trumpet. We're going to find out about the Celebrating Catholic Schools Virtues Gala that's coming up. Also, Carrie spoke with Chris Caffrey, the MC and lead guitarist for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. First up, since Father Blau has graced the campus grounds of ODU, the student body and staff have seen the growth in the campus ministry, office planning, and participating in activities geared towards promoting the spiritual enrichment and personal development of all students, faculty, and staff of the Ohio Dominican community. Getting involved in campus ministry allows people to participate in a variety of experiences such as Mass, adoration, and receiving the sacraments, retreats, Bible study, and prayer groups, volunteer service, and immersion trips. In addition to faith enrichment, being involved in campus ministry also provides the opportunity to build lifelong friendships with others who value faith-filled living. Correspondent Carrie Migalski caught up with Father Blau to discuss what new things are happening on the front lines of the college campus setting at ODU and gives his insight on the programs that will help the faith formation of the student body.
Joining us today on the trumpet is Father Thomas Blau, the chaplain for Ohio Dominican University. Welcome to the trumpet, Father Blau.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Father Blau, there's some great things going on the campus this year. Share with us some of those exciting new endeavors that are happening here.
We've got some really good things lined up for this year. As normal, we have our Sunday Mass at 7 p.m. Confessions are at 6 p.m. So from 6 to 7 in Christ the King Chapel in Sansbury Hall, anyone can have confession. And then from 7 to 8, we promise to be done by 8, you can have Sunday Mass. We're not the last chance Mass in Columbus, but if you need to get to Mass, 7 p.m., at Ohio Dominican University, Central Ohio's Catholic University. Besides that, we have a number of Bible studies going on this year, more than we've had in the past. There is one Bible study, I have to visit it still. It's a student-run Bible study, studying, I believe, the daily readings, and it's drawing in over 20 right now. They'll have to break that into smaller groups. This year, we've started something different. It's a new endeavor. And that is, we have hired two SPO workers. St. Paul's Outreach is a dynamite college outreach program. And we have only part-time, not yet full-time, a man and a woman, Patrick and Sarah. And they're working here at Ohio Dominican University, meeting students, helping with the faith outreach of campus ministry. So that's a new endeavor. It's a small little seed beginning to germinate. It's supported by donations right to the campus ministry to keep them coming, and we hope to increase their work here on campus. We have two new things on First Fridays, all of our First Fridays. One is coming up pretty soon, a couple weeks. We have a 12 noon Mass as normal. Every day, Monday through Friday, we have 12 noon. But then from 12:30 to 4, we have Exposition of the Blessed Sacrament with 4 p.m. benediction and confession for that entire time. Okay, I'll be in the confessional for that entire time, face-to-face or behind the screen. But in Christ the King Chapel, First Fridays from 12 to 4, come in even for a little bit of time and meet the Lord. Another initiative that we've got, and there are a few, but this other one really has me excited. I think it's going to be it's going to do good things for the diocese and for the university, is we have Ohio Dominican University High School Day Retreat Program. Now, listen to this and see what you think about it. We have in our diocese, every class in our Catholic high schools needs to go on a retreat. The 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders all need to go on a retreat. And normally they either skip it and a few places are able to send them, and they're meeting just for a maintenance level retreat. They've got to go and pay full retreat prices. Okay. Usually at places where you don't have the Eucharist reserved and you don't have a priest and you don't have a confessional and you don't have a secure environment where there are security personnel and people that care for you. Well, you've got all of that, Ohio Dominican University. So what we're going to do, we can convince us if you think we can take more. We can only handle about 100 students at a time with adult supervision from their school. But we'll bring 100 students in, and from 9 a.m. to 2:30, 3-ish, we're flexible. We'll have a day retreat for you, and we'll have Mass. Hope some of your people do music. That'd be wonderful. And I can be your teacher or your preacher or give a couple talks. Or if you have ideas of your own, go right ahead. It's very flexible. And then you're on this safe environment. It's a beautiful campus. If anyone wants, they can always get a tour from either our professional tour guides to see what university's like, or even more fun, some of our athletes. And they'll take you to some of their favorite places. We've done it where I've given talks on seeing God in the cosmos through astronomy and science and physics. I love that. And then another talk we gave was one on coming to know God in the regular events of life. It really is St. Teresa's little way, but interpreted so students can access it. But it's the Ohio Dominican University Day High School Retreats Program, for retreat for a day. And it's open to any grade. We take groups of about 100. So we have one high school in the Columbus Diocese that will be having a ninth grade class of 200 students. So they'll just schedule 2 days. It's first come, first serve. We can handle about 5 of these a semester. The earlier you call in, you or your campus minister from high school to reserve, we can do this. The best thing, the neatest thing about it is we are finances conscious, which means we try to keep the expense as low as can be. And I can guarantee you, it will not break the budget if you come to Ohio Dominican University. We want to do this for you, to be a service of the diocese. And it does, of course, lets people know that we are around and that we exist. So it's a win-win. If anyone is interested of our listeners in the Ohio Dominican University High School one-day retreat program, send me an email. I'm an associate pastor also at St. Patrick's Church in downtown Columbus. Or send it to the university. Go to our website, look up the chaplain's office, and send it with the subject line to the chaplain. You know, attention, Father Blau. So, good things happening here at Ohio Dominican University.
That sounds very exciting, Father Blau. Thank you so much. And of course, we have a new revamped website, so you can go onto ohiodominican.edu and check out campus ministry. Thank you for joining us today on The Trumpet.
For more information on the campus ministry at Ohio Dominican University, visit the website ohiodominican.edu/campuslife. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. It's 9 minutes past the hour. Do you have a special Christmas tradition that you'd like to share with your family and friends? This year, why not make that tradition a truly memorable experience? On December 28th, Trans-Siberian Orchestra will be performing with a live debut of their 1998 Christmas album, The Christmas Attic. The Christmas Attic is the second installment of their Christmas trilogy about an angel of the Lord being given a special mission to leave a gift on earth that would benefit all mankind. This story truly inspires the hearts of all to bear witness to the miracle of Christmas. Carrie had the privilege of speaking with Chris Caffrey, the MC and lead guitarist for Trans-Siberian Orchestra on the East Coast, and he shared the beautiful story behind the music.
Joining us today on The Trumpet is the lead guitarist and MC for Trans-Siberian Orchestra. We have Chris Caffrey on the line with us. Thank you for joining us, Chris.
It's great to be here. How's everybody doing today?
We are doing awesome. We're so excited that Trans-Siberian Orchestra is coming to Nationwide Arena on Sunday, December 28th. And this is going to be the first live debut of one of my most favorite albums, The Christmas Attic. There's a beautiful story behind The Christmas Attic. Tell us about that story.
Yes, well, the Christmas trilogy is in three parts, as most people know. And the first one, Christmas Eve and Other Stories, we had done for basically the first 13 years that we had toured TSO. And, you know, Paul wanted to get the other stories of the trilogy onto the arena stages. So he kind of did it a little bit backwards and went from first to the third and going from the first to the second. But Paul never does anything as anybody expects it. That's part of his genius, his mystery there. So we did the Lost Christmas Eve, and you know, we had a lot of people that were saying, when are you going to do Christmas Attic? When are you going to do Christmas Attic? So when we retired the Lost Christmas Eve show last year, you know, there was a lot of discussion about what we would do with the winter tour. And, you know, Paul just decided that it was time to do the Christmas Attic. And I know a lot of people really enjoy that record and say that the story is one of their favorites in the trilogy. And, you know, as Paul's been mentioning lately, we'd had a vocalist, his name is Daryl Pettiford, who passed away actually during rehearsals for a tour one year. And he was the one who sang the Music Box Blues song. And this will be 10 years since he passed away, which is actually very hard to believe. But it's kind of fitting to have this the tour go out, and we can, you know, pay a little tribute to him 10 years after he passed. And he was one of my best friends. I mean, when TSO first started on the road, we were, you know, obviously doing smaller rooms, and you had, you know, smaller budgets and things. And me and Daryl were actually, for the first two or three tours before we all got into our own rooms, I was his roommate on the road, so I got to know him and spend a lot of time with him. So it was really, you know, when he passed away, it was really like losing a brother, which was a very hard tour for all of us in the band, because like I said, he passed away during rehearsals, and that was tough. But we're all looking forward to going out and doing the Christmas Attic. You know, it's fun when you do things that are brand new on tour, because you you get the excitement the same way as the audience does. Whenever you play a new song, it's something that's great for you to play. Not that we don't enjoy the old ones, but it's just, you know, you learn different routines on stage with your musicians and different little things musically and performance-wise and production-wise that make it special.
Paul O'Neill, he was the one that kind of pulled together Trans-Siberian Orchestra. He took such an interesting approach. He took all of these gifted musicians and pulled them together and really, you know, made it such a forum for you to express your gifts in such an engaging way, especially with taking the Christmas songs for the holidays and then putting your own unique twist on it. And Paul wrote all the background stories for your albums?
Yes, well, I started working with Paul when I was 17. He was a producer for a band that I was playing with called Heaven at the time, and he was also working in the management company, which at the time was called Contemporary Communications, but when Paul first started, it was called Libra Krebs, and they managed everybody, Aerosmith, Def Leppard, The Scorpions, Ted Nugent, AC/DC. It's like it was this monster management company where even some of the most major management companies that are still going on in rock music were people, you know, like Paul, who became tremendously successful out of the whole experience of being in that company. And when I was working with Paul, he always had this song. He even tried to get Heaven to record it, and he eventually got us to do it with Sabotage, was the song called Christmas Eve Sarajevo. And when I first started speaking to Paul about what he wanted to do in the future, he got involved in doing, you know, starting to write lyrics for people, and he started writing his Broadway shows. Like, he has a lot of different plays and books and things that he's written that, you know, even cartoons that'll eventually get to film. But he'd mentioned about having this band one day that would have endless musical and creative possibilities, like basically a band that could do anything from having the largest orchestra with tons of musicians to just, you know, a single guitar on a giant arena stage and be able to play for anybody anywhere. And that's kind of what he did with TSO. And he had, you know, he'd written the Romanoff record, which was his intent to have as the first TSO album, which has never been released yet. It's been recorded, but it's going to be released in the next few years. But when Sabotage released our record that was called Dead Winter Dead, that Christmas Eve Sarajevo song was on it. It just got so many requests on the radio, and Paul had his story for for the very first record. And he wrote the song into the story, and it was a very good time for him to have the birth of the actual release of a Trans-Siberian Orchestra record. So like I said, the band was something that came about, you know, years before we actually released something. But when we did, it was just amazing to watch the way that people grabbed onto the music. And then when we went out to play live, it was really amazing to watch how the fans grabbed onto the band. And the main reason for that goes back to the messages and things that, that Paul has in the music, because he would always say to us in our bands, as a producer, like it's easy to write about a song about a car or a girl, but it's not really easy to write a song that relates to everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does with songs like Believe and his songs like, you know, Old City Bar or something, where there's, you have people that are going through real life emotions that affect everyone. And I think that's something that happens around the holiday time, and it's something pretty special for me, because I know that I was always, you know, somebody who really, really, really enjoyed, you know, the holiday time and just that whole spirit and feeling where everybody all of a sudden becomes a little bit nicer. Mm-hmm. And a little bit happier, and people will bump into each other and smile and say hello, instead of, you know, maybe you might have gotten some kind of a different look in the month of June when it was 110 degrees out than they are when they're carrying a bunch of Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. And when we went on the road with TSO, we eventually had gotten to the point where we're so popular that we couldn't get home through the holidays and even through New Year's. So being on tour with the band became my family, and the fans became the family, and the faces that we saw in the audience, that became, you know, like your holiday get-togethers every night, and you would watch these families, and one year there'd be two people there from the family, and then the next year there'd be four. Mm-hmm. And the next year the people would be like, there's 15 of us. And then another family will come through and say, I haven't seen, you know, my uncle or my father or my daughter or something in 12 years, and we went to see your concert, and now, you know, we're making this a tradition for our family. And it's just, like I said, it's something that has been bridged together through, you know, Paul's vision, not only musically, but definitely through the stories and lyrically, that it's made something very special for people.
For me and my family, it's been our tradition over the past several years to go and to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra during Christmas. So we always do it as our Christmas gifts to each other. And it's just so beautiful because, especially with the Christmas Attic story, I have the CD. It's my favorite. The Christmas Canon is just so beautiful. And if anybody can see the video, it's just such a beautiful rendition of Pachelbel Canon's work. But the Christmas Attic story has the whole arc of where the Lord sends down the angel to kind of bring back the miracle of Christmas in the world of this young child who's in the attic searching for that answer, you know, to believe again in Christmas.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I mean, the child was given the angel was given a mission, and that was to do something without having to leave something materialistic. And that, you know, when we go on the road and you leave the music and you put those smiles on people's faces, it's that same kind of thing. And then this story, this little girl, her friends are basically trying to tell her that, you know, their Christmas, everything about it is fake. And that, you know, her parents were in on this so-called scam of Christmas, and she doesn't want to believe that. And she goes up into the attic, and she eventually is kind of guided by this angel towards this old chest, and she starts fumbling through it, and in the midst of doing that, she finds, you know, pictures of these people that that she knows that have been separated through time, and they wind up getting together through the actions that happen in the story, and it's just a good message that through that record that you know, you don't have to put something in somebody's hand to be giving them something. And that's the one thing that I always say too about the holiday time. You know, people will be more apt to open the door or be kind to a neighbor or strangers or whoever it may be.
Chris, thank you so much for sharing all of this, your story, Trans-Siberian Orchestra's story. We are so excited to have you come into Columbus on Sunday, December 28th, and we know it'll be absolutely a full arena. Can you just tell us, there's a new website that you tied in, the fan website for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and then the band website that people can go to?
Yeah, well, basically what we did is we had the Trans-Siberian Express and the Trans-Siberian Orchestra site, which was just the regular trans-siberianorchestra.com, and we tied them all together now. So if you go to the main site, you can access everything through that, and it's very easy to navigate. It's on the cover pages, you can see where to go, and it has, lots of multimedia stuff and the stories and some tour photos and desktops, and, it has the Trans-Siberian Express, which is a good thing to be involved with if you're a fan of the band, because every year we try to give the fans the best opportunity to get the best tickets possible, because in the past, the unfortunate world of the ticket scalpers, they would have people waiting, and this would be their job to try to get the best tickets, so they would have mechanisms and networks and ways to get to these seats, the front row seats, before the fans did. And not only was it bad that the fans weren't getting the tickets, but it was also bad that the fans that got those tickets were paying a lot more because they were getting them through those outlets. So what we did is we developed the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the Trans-Siberian Express, the fan club, and have the way for the fans to sign up. And they always get a fan club presale right away before everybody else, and that that's a great way to make sure that the fans get the seats that they're supposed that they deserve to get if they really want to get them. So it's something that I recommend people join up on if they haven't.
Okay, well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us today on the Trumpet, and thank you for your work for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and I know it's such an inspiration for our families here in Central Ohio, and to have you come in December.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I can't wait to see everybody when we get back to Ohio. We do so many shows there every year. I believe we're actually, once again this year, we're spending Christmas, I believe, in Cleveland. And I think we might actually be returning back to Cleveland to spend New Year's Eve there, because I know we're off in Ohio then as well. So we have a lot of friends and a lot of family and a lot of history there. It was actually a big part of why we even started touring, was because WNCX and Bill Lewis in Cleveland inviting us out for the very first time. So our hearts are very close to Ohio with TSO.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris. God bless.
God bless. Thank you. Bye.
For more information on Trans-Siberian Orchestra, visit transsiberian.com. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. It's 22 minutes past the hour. The Celebrating Catholic Schools Virtues Gala to raise money for tuition assistance will be held on Thursday, November 6th at the St. Charles Prep School in the Walter Student Commons at 6 p.m. This gala will be for tuition assistance for students attending one of the 53 diocesan Catholic schools.
The Celebrating Catholic Schools Virtue Gala will be held on Thursday, November 6th at St. Charles Preparatory School. Two of the honorees for the gala will be Mary Kay and Tom Mulligan. Welcome to the Trumpet.
Thank you for having us, and we encourage everyone that can hear this to attend. It's a very beneficial thing to be able to help those that struggle with finances to get scholarships, which part of the money from the gala goes toward that. So it's a very beneficial event.
So, Tom, tell us about your background and your family. You have put 20 grandchildren through a Catholic education.
Well, yes, we put seven children through, and the seven children have really put the 20 grandchildren through. But we've been very blessed by God to be able to do this. Some people say Catholic education is expensive, but it's well worth it. And we felt that the money we spent doing this has benefited us and our children. We feel that the Catholic schools are an extension of family life. We believe in Christ. We believe in the religion. And we believe in a good education. And we have found that the Catholic school system does this. It has given our children a good basis for to be good citizens in life through their Catholic education. It's given them good basis to succeed in life through their regular education. I feel that the Catholic schools are excellent. We don't get rated like the public schools do, but a number of our schools have become blue ribbon schools, which is a national ranking. So I think that the education that we've given our children and that they have received has benefited society also.
And even though your children are older and now your grandchildren are in the education, you still have served on parent advisory boards and have been very active within the Catholic education.
That's correct. Again, I think it's an extension of family life. Parental involvement, as far as I'm concerned, in the Catholic school system is excellent, and they look to the parents to participate in the school and to be involved in the curriculum and the education. I was fortunate to serve on the St. Matthias board for a while and then moved to the DeSales board and eventually to the Diocesan School Board downtown. And in my experience there, again, the parental involvement and the concern for the children and the education and the background they're getting has been very good.
So you've definitely seen an impact on your children's life and then going down multi-generational into your grandchildren of getting a good, solid Catholic education?
All our children have done very well. Their children are doing better than I could possibly expect. Two of our children have gone to Haiti on, in essence, missionary-type trips.
And your children have actually got together and have developed a scholarship in your name.
Yes,
That was
quite a surprise to us, and we feel very honored that they feel we must have done something right. But they have established a scholarship at St. Francis de Sales, a four-year scholarship, $1,000 each year.
Well, thank you so much, Tom and Mary Kay, for your testimony and for your selfless service that you've given to the Catholic school educations here in Columbus. For more information, you can email gala@cdeducation.org. Again, the event is Celebrating Catholic School Virtues Gala on November 6th at St. Charles Preparatory School.
For more information on the Celebrating Catholic Schools Virtues Gala to support tuition assistance, please email gala@cdeducation.org. That's it for today's episode of The Trumpet. We'd like to wish Carrie Migalski blessings and best of luck in her new journey at Ohio Dominican University. For the St. Gabriel Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.